We are pleased to be joined on the program here today by Dr. David Pauls, who is a general surgeon with Ascension Via Christi Hospital here in Manhattan. Is that correct? Did I have that right?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure I had that right. Well, thank you for the time here. I understand, Dr. Pauls, you have volunteered to be the triage officer for the COVID-19 team here in Manhattan. And I guess tell us a little bit about that position and why you decided to do this.
Well, the part of the issue we're having to deal with this COVID crisis, as people already can see in Europe and now in New York City, is that, you know, when you start having an overwhelming number of cases, you become more limited on the resources that you can use in them. And at some point, the system can become so overwhelmed where you start have to making decisions as to, well, can we use things like ventilators or other types of technology? Who should get them? Who should we consider maybe not doing those sorts of procedures on certain people, and trying to figure out what's the best way to maximize the benefit from these technologies when we have, you know, at some point where you may have limited resources with an overwhelming demand.
That's a heavy to think about here, but certainly something that's not, I guess, out of the question at this point. We're nowhere close to that at this point, are we?
No, we're not. We're not anywhere near from this point. And really, when you start the hard decisions, that is a worst case, you know, worst case scenario when things just become so overwhelming and there's no other place that we can turn to. You know, triage has been around for a long time. The military uses it, you know, where you'll have large numbers of casualties coming in. You know, it's used in mass disaster situations such as, you know, tornadoes. But obviously the problem we have here is that it's not just a localized problem. It's a problem that involves the entire country right now. So, you know, the ability to offload, you know, certain cases to other facilities is pretty limited.
Yeah, and of course, one of the things that I think gets overlooked a lot here is we think here in America we've got a great supply of resources here from our medical team, but medical officials see all sorts of different things. It's not just COVID-19 that they're responding to.
It's true. You know, unfortunately, there's still car wrecks. There's still fires. Unfortunately, people still have heart attacks. People still have strokes. You know, people unfortunately get diagnosed with cancer. And you know, we're still trying to provide care for those sorts of situations too. And then, you know, part of, you know, triage is trying to figure out, well, who if we had to make decisions, you know, what classes of people or what classes of patients would have the highest priority. And that's when the difficult decisions start having to be made.
Right. Well, as far as what inspired you to volunteer for something like this?
Well, part of it is I have a master's degree in bioethics, and there's been a lot written on the ethics of triage and what's, you know, an appropriate way of doing it. As surgeons, you know, the surgeons here in town, we have training in triage, mainly through mass disaster situations. You know, fortunately, I've never been in a situation where I've actually had to do a major, you know, big type triage situation, but there's been a lot written. You know, we've had some training in that area. So, you know, part of it is that, you know, I've been here for a long time. You know, it's my way of trying to, you know, do what I can to help the community.
Well, certainly something that we hope it never has to come to. But how important is, with all this being said, the stay-at-home order? It must be of absolute importance to you guys because of this.
It is. I mean, you know, trying to, you know, the problem we have right now is there's so much we don't know. We don't know, you know, we don't know how many cases we really have. We don't really know how, and we know it's very infectious, but we just don't know, you know, what those hard numbers are. You know, we have lots of predictions as for numbers of cases and, unfortunately, numbers of deaths. But, you know, those predictions all vary by different magnitudes. So, you know, right now the effort is to try to keep things, you know, slow down the spread, try to, you know, the whole phrase flatten the curve is, you know, is the phrase you hear, people will hear a lot now. trying to figure out, you know, if we can keep those numbers of cases low, then we don't get into a situation where we reach that ceiling on our resources and have to start making, you know, harder decisions as to who gets what treatment.
Well, and as I understand, you mentioned your background here. You're involved with a national group around medical ethics as well?
I have been. There's a group, a bioethics center we work with. We don't deal with the triage ethics that's based out in the Bay Area. It was started by a friend of mine who was in my master's program with me, called the Center for Bioethics and Culture. Now, we deal with a totally different situation, but, you know, I've kept my hand in the ethics area through that.
Give us an idea, maybe not COVID-related, but maybe a hypothetical situation where this might, come into play.
Well, like a triage situation. You know, a regional one, for those of us who remember, you remember the Oklahoma City bombing, where you had a large number of casualties, you had a large number of cases. And so in a disaster situation like that, but the way it typically runs is you will have a person in the field who designates people as for priority. So, you know, the traditional triage is people who have, you know, who have an immediate urgent type of thing that has to be treated. So that's something that you have minutes to treat or minutes to take care of in order to save a life. Then you have things that are more urgent, but don't require, you know, an immediate, you know, within an hour type of treatment. And then finally, you have lower level of injuries where those things can wait. You know, those are more your minor type injuries, cuts, scrapes, bruises, that sort of thing. And unfortunately, in some situations, if it's more serious, you have what you would call an expectant category where, you know, these are people who have such overwhelming injuries that the likelihood of survival is low. And in those people, then unfortunately, you don't, you know, if you get into a situation where you have limited resources, those are the people you have to say, well, you know, you try to keep them comfortable, you try to do what you can for them, but, you know, they're not going to get the maximal therapy that other people might.
And this is something that, you know, we're not seeing here locally right now, as you mentioned, but bigger cities are being faced with some of these questions at some point, probably.
Yeah, New York City obviously is the main one in this country now. You know, as to the level of triage they're having to do, I'm not intimately familiar with the details there. But we have, Kansas actually has a program that was set up several years ago giving triage guidelines that, so we can try to standardize those guidelines across the state between all the hospitals. So you try to provide a uniform level of care to everyone, which, you know, ethically would be the most fair. And we have what's called a SOFA score. And what that is, SOFA is this S-O-F-A, and that stands for a sequential organ failure assessment score. And so that's just a way of judging, you know, how sick a patient is, and that depending on the score and some other medical issues, you can assign a priority to them as to whether they're high priority or maybe a little lower priority or, you know, in some cases, you know, may have the lowest priority.
So having this plan in place, this seems like a proactive measure from the hospital rather than a reactive measure, if that's fair to say.
Yeah, the plan actually was set up in place by the state about a little over 10 years ago. And they had a panel of people involved in, you know, intensive care type medicine. They had ethics people involved. They looked at some of the work that other states had done. And so this has been, you know, this is available to all the hospitals in the state and the Ascension system, which we're a part of. So that'd be us in Wichita and Pittsburgh. You know, we've all coordinated everybody to that, and we're all on this plan, which fortunately hasn't been activated and hopefully never will.
Well, Dr. Pauls, anything else maybe I haven't asked here that you think would be pertinent to tell the public?
No, I just, you know, I want to reassure people that, you know, the medical community is doing everything they can to, you know, provide the best care they can for everybody right now, and that we are not close to having to make these sorts of decisions at this time. And hopefully, you know, particularly here in Riley County, we've been fairly fortunate to have a relatively low number of cases compared to other places in the state, and hopefully we can maintain that as we get through this.
Yeah, let's hope so. Well, we're all pulling for all our medical professionals. We're praying for you guys, and we hope everybody will get through this relatively unscathed. That is probably the best way to put it here. Dr. Paul, thanks so much.